Bloomington aldermen have made some long-awaited decisions about the future of its Performing Arts Center, the Creativity Center, and a clogged intersection on the city's Far East Side. GLT's Ryan Denham has more with Bloomington's mayor.
The mayors of Bloomington Normal stopped by GLT's Sound Ideas following their regular and special city council meetings. Mayor Terry Renner, thanks for coming in today.
Thanks. Great to be here. Thanks.
Well, let's start with the votes last night. Aldermen voted 7-2 in favor of an agreement between the city and the Friends of the BCPA, which is formally establishing a public-private partnership with this group of private citizens. Supporters say they hope this will jumpstart what they see as a stalled progress at the BCPA and Creativity Center. What does this agreement actually do?
Well, first of all, it's long overdue. I would absolutely agree with the supporters. This should have been done years ago. And the $1 million of private money that was raised for the Creativity Center was raised before I was even mayor. I was appalled that we had this money and it was just sitting there. This is private money earmarked for the Creativity Center, its programs and rooms, and yet the Cultural District Commission was powerless to move forward. And so I think this is a huge step forward. And I think that's the main thing. It's a similar, as many people noted, to our agreement with the zoo. Okay, we're going to kick in some funds. You're going to kick in some funds. Let's see how things make a transition, because the arts are critical. That corridor is critical. The BCPA, the frontier lots that are right by that, the Creativity Center, and, of course, the Electrolux site, that is a critical corridor for our downtown and exiting our downtown on Main Street and on the old Route 66 leading up to Illinois Wesleyan's campus. So the arts, again, it's not just about the arts. It's about economic development. It's about the physical development and amenities of our city. So I was very excited to see that this finally passed.
And this agreement calls for the city to finally fill this development director job, basically a fundraiser for the BCPA and Creativity Center. Are you comfortable with bringing on another city employee, given the lean budget system that you're in?
Let's be clear. This is a position that was budgeted back in 2014, and we did have someone in that position. And then because of the turnover and then the death of Tina Salamone, for a variety of reasons, this position was not filled. So this is a position that's in the budget. This is not a new position in the budget. And let's be clear. It's about development. The person raises money. If they are really any good, they pay for themselves over and over. And so if we really are serious about moving forward and making Bloomington a better place to live, work, and play, if we're serious about investing in our community and the arts and amenities and the economic spillovers to that, I think this is an essential position. If the person doesn't perform, then you change the person. But absolutely, if you have tough economic times, the last person you want to get rid of is your development guy or gal.
And this this passed 7-2 last night. So you had two no votes, one of them Alderman Diana Howman, the other Alderman David Sage. What did you think of those two no votes? And then Alderman Howman actually made a comment about her reasoning behind it.
You'd have to ask them. I don't understand what the no votes were about. I still don't. So you'd have to ask them.
Okay. So getting back to this issue of you yourself called it a long overdue step toward making improvements at the BCPA, I guess why does this happen? I think a lot of folks in the city have seen this sort of delay on other issues. 15 months of talking about a welcoming city ordinance, for example, this situation with the BCPA. How would you characterize, why is that? Why does that happen?
There is definitely a long-standing culture, long before I was even mayor, but certainly Mayor Stockton ran into that before me, I think somewhere or maybe around a decade or so ago. A culture developed of not moving decisively. And I think this is one of the reasons why I have suggested that the council members, all of them, go to the Illinois Municipal League, go to the National League of Cities, develop the equivalent of a dating myself, Rolodex of people that you can talk to in other places about the decisions that you're about to make, so that you're prepared to come to a business meeting, that is a city council meeting, and actually make a decision. And now there are times where you need, of course, to stretch things out. There are some times where you need a lot of time to really digest something. But that doesn't have to be on everything. It doesn't have to take months, or trash took us 7 years. That does not have to be part of your culture. And I think if our city council would have more of a broader comparative base, if they'd go to the Illinois Municipal League, National League of Cities, I think some of that would begin to happen. And I think that culture is beginning to change. We are moving forward. We are making progress. It may not be as quickly as I or some people would like, but we are moving forward.
That's Mayor Terry Renner from Bloomington. This is GLT's Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham. Also, last night, aldermen voted to spend $370,000 to revamp the intersection of Ireland Grove and Tawanda Barnes Road out on the east side. It's going to be smaller in scope and cheaper than previous iterations of this project. There's been some resistance to it before, so why do you think this scaled-down version of it finally passed last night?
Right. Well, some resistance is probably being charitable, Ryan. I would have had to have vetoed the initial project. I actually broke the tie to say no to previous versions because I don't think we should be encouraging sprawl. And that's one of the concerns that I have on this particular site. And it's also important for us to understand, initially, this is not what we agreed to. The intergovernmental agreement that I signed a year and a half ago was a fraction of the cost when it came back to us at $1.8 million. So we would have been on the hook for $900,000 of that. How do I go to people in other parts of Bloomington and say, oh, you know, your streets and your dangerous intersections that are more dangerous than this one within the city of Bloomington, we're not going to bother with yours, but we're going to bother with this one, and we're going to spend all this money. Then it got scaled back to $450,000. That's the tie that I broke. And at that point, I didn't think it was an unreasonable request. So that was a tough vote for me. And now that it's come back in a more scaled version at $370,000, I just signed it actually a few minutes ago before I came in, and that passed unanimously. There are some things that need to be done at that intersection. Some of the low-lying fruit had not been explored at that point, like making sure that you have traffic enforcement if people are going too fast. So there are some things that it does not do, but I think that it is a reasonable compromise for public safety without encouraging sprawl at that intersection.
So this is, this is sort of a joint project between the city and McLean County.
That's
references
right.
intergovernmental agreement. It's been in the works for a couple of years. Last night's vote, how much of it was we want to actually improve this intersection thing versus we've got this intergovernmental agreement on the books. We've already have almost $100,000 into it. We just got to proceed regardless.
It was probably all of the above. But I think the main interest that obviously everybody on the city council, I mean, whether people agree or disagree on any given issue, everybody wants to prioritize public safety. So that was, and certainly in my mind, that was the main, if not the only reason, to go ahead with this. The reason I signed it, the reason I didn't speak against it, even though I had spoken against previous iterations of it before, is because of public safety. I think it is a reasonable compromise, again, without encouraging sprawl, without, frankly, subsidizing future developers on the east side, in areas that aren't even in the city of Bloomington. I mean, the days that we subsidize, new development are largely gone. And by say largely, there are some contracts that we're still stuck with.
Alderman Karen Schmidt raised an issue last night that saying she was concerned that this version of the project had not gone through the city's newish transportation commission.
That's correct.
But I thought previous iterations of it had gone through the commission. So which is it, first of all? And then are there any changes that you want to see to the process of how the citizen-led transportation commission gets to weigh in on projects that move through it and may have multiple iterations of themselves?
Yes. If I can answer the last one first, and that is I absolutely think that all projects should go through the Citizens Advisory Board, the TAC, Transportation Advisory Committee. I think that that's really critical. And that's one of the reasons why I supported it, and the council supported the establishment of that. And so, in the past, it had been the STAC, you know, Staff Transportation Advisory Commission. So now we've brought citizens in, and you are correct. The previous iterations, and actually the most recent one, the $450,000 version of this, the Transportation Committee did approve with one dissent, and that was Michael Gorman. And Michael Gorman wrote a letter, who's the chair, and in support of this particular version of it. So it didn't go back to TAC, but the Transportation Advisory Commission had taken a look at it. And I think if they had supported it at $450,000, they probably would have supported it at $80,000 cheaper. Now, the reason we brought it back was not to avoid procedural niceties, but because the county needed to move quickly and they needed to have this at their next county board meeting to get approval in order to have this happen this summer. So that's the reason. Sometimes policy making is a little like sausage making. You sometimes don't want to know the details, but at the end of the day, I think we did follow the spirit of this. As we move forward, I think we need to follow not just the spirit, but the letter. We should not be doing an end run around the Transportation Advisory Committee composed of citizens who are supposed to give their feedback. When I ran, that's one of the things I said is, City Hall should be like windows, so that anybody from any part of town can look in, see what they're paying for, and if they want to get involved, we'll figure out a way to get them involved in the process.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned this, the email that Michael Gorman had sent. Michael Gorman is the chair of the Transportation Commission we've been talking about. He raised some questions and had concerns about the use of motor fuel tax and how this particular project was going to be funded and a change in how the funding was going to work. So I want to ask, does this project on the Far East Side to ease congestion, you know, twice a day, ultimately, at the expense of is it at the expense of repaving long overdue roads in the heart of the city, ultimately?
Not directly, but there obviously, when you're using funds, there are some indirect effects, but not directly. And so we will be able to go back and look at our the other dangerous intersections, and one in the Alderman Scott Black's ward as well. There are definitely some intersections that we have to look at, frankly, that are more dangerous, at least in terms of injuries and fatalities, than this particular intersection.
Yeah, this intersection was described as the 10th most dangerous in the whole city.
Right, and that's news to me. I had heard that it was in the top 25. Now, it is the most dangerous intersection in the county, but the most dangerous intersection that's outside of Bloomington Normal in the county does not necessarily rack up and is not necessarily always on the top of our list. We've got lots of other dangerous intersections that we need to prioritize to protect our citizens within Bloomington.
Well, let's pivot now to the search for your next city manager. Now, you didn't take any action on this formally, but you got an update on the process for replacing David Hales, who left last year for that job in Joliet. What's the timeline now for a new hire?
Right. Well, this was GovHR, which was chosen, and they actually are a nationally known firm. They actually ran the search for the head of the International City County Management Association, where I used to work, which is a huge plum for them, you know, to have gotten. So that's one of the reasons why they were chosen. And we almost all of us met with the director of GovHR, one of the coordinator for GovHR yesterday, and talked about what we want out of a new city manager. The bottom line is that they will begin now to take our feedback, run by us a job description. They ran by us some essentially dollar amounts that we might, in terms of salary ranges, that we might want to advertise if we want to attract the best talent. And so this will go out in a variety of ways. So people will be contacted directly, some groups of female public administrators, people who have color, so we can broaden our pool of candidates, so that we can diversify our pool of candidates, will all be taken care of. Somewhere around June or July is when, you know, this may happen. But at the end of the day, you know, once you begin this process, you know, we still need to finish our budget process. So we're not going to be able to dive too heavily into this. And this is one of those situations until the very end, at the very end of the process, when you got your last three candidates, then you need to move quickly. But until that point, you don't really need to move quickly.
I don't want to play a clip from last night. This is Alderman Scott Black talking about the search and how quickly he wants to see it proceed.
I would just advocate for as quickly as possible. The sooner we get it posted, the sooner we bring it down, the sooner we can get going. We don't have time for a lengthy process. We got a lot of things going on right now.
So Alderman Black is an ally of yours on the council. Is that where you're at as well in terms of the speed of this search and how quickly to go? Because I think a lot of people are thinking, all right, we've got this interim city manager, Steve Rasmussen, already on the job. Why don't we just proceed quickly, get it done, and he's the guy?
Well, first of all, part of it is because I've been involved in this for over 30 years. I used to work for the International City County Management Association. I may be a little too close to the hiring process. And when I make mistakes as mayor, and I made a lot of them, it's because I move too quickly. So I'm very sympathetic with wanting decisive action and do it yesterday, make stuff happen, right? When it comes to a city manager search, we do have this process laid out. There are some reasons why it's going to take us a few months to broaden our pool. If we move too quickly, we're not going to have as broad a pool as possible. So that's the only qualifier that I would add to Scott's comment.
One last question. We'll get you out of here, so I'll be brief. How transparent will the search be? When will the public know the finalists? In normal, when they did their search, the finalists weren't announced, only the new hire, Pamela Reese, was announced. What can you tell me about transparency?
The finalists will be announced, and I forgot the date. I don't have it in front of me, but it would be in fairly short order before the final selection. And that would be somewhere around 2 weeks, 10 days perhaps, and then the council would need to make their final selection. And up until that point, we do, for a variety of reasons, for the privacy of the people who are applying, keep their names confidential. But we would certainly like to hear from the public about what they'd like to have out of a new city manager. We have already. I've certainly heard lots of people say, you know, keep Steve Rasmussen, take the interim out of it. His title. So we have definitely heard people lobbying for Steve Rasmussen and what they'd like to see.
Mayor Renner, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you, Ryan.
Mayor Terry Renner from the city of Bloomington. I'm Ryan Denham.
And I'm Mike McCurdy. The mayors of Bloomington and Normal join us on most Tuesdays following Monday evening council meetings. Next week, you'll hear from Town of Normal Mayor Chris Coos. This is Sound Ideas.